Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessed opportunity to be able to gather in your house, be able to open your word. Please help us as we dig into the scriptures to find exactly what you want us to find tonight. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to build our faith and trust in your word. And let all of it bring honor and glory to you. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word Christian, we'll pick it up in Romans chapter 8, verse 10 here. We see where it's speaking of other biblical names for Christians. And it reads in Romans chapter 8, verse 10, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." It's another title of a Christian, or another name for Christians is sons of God. That's sons and daughters, the children of God. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." That personal term of endearment, Abba. "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Once again, emphasis on if you're a Christian, you're a child of God, children of God. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Once again, another title for Christian is an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. "If so be that we suffer with him, for we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." This last part of it here reveals part of the condition of being a Christian, getting us prepared and helping us realize that there will be suffering for being a Christian. Because we have spoke of before about how we are actually blessed because we are persecuted, and count those persecutions as blessings because we will be rewarded for the things that we endure as Christian. So the question then may come up about how to become a Christian. And while we are in the book of Romans, verses that are commonly used that they call the Romans Road to Salvation, such as Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And also 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And 10:9, these will help us to understand the opportunities, where we come from, and the fact that we can become a Christian. And 10:9, it reads that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That one verse right there says so much. We've read that we are sinners. The wages of sin is death. If you want to become a Christian, you must confess Jesus, you must proclaim, you must acknowledge and receive, actually admit it and bring it into your heart. Let the Holy Ghost indwell you. And if, as it says in 9 again, chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess, that means to actually speak it out, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This doesn't have to be audible, actually, where somebody can hear it. If you, from inside, from your heart, if you confess, if you, speaking to God, acknowledge and receive Jesus Christ, he will come into you, indwell you in the form of the Holy Ghost. In verse 13, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when you are a Christian, you are saved. And when you are saved, you become one of the family. Then you become one of the family. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, well, I'll tell you what, let's pick it up in chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, it sets up the basis for being a Christian, what you will be if you are, the condition that you will have if you have trusted, if you have confessed Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Pick up verse 4, 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that's confessing that we believe in him, trusted in him, given our lives over to him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Because as we said, for we are all sinners, we have all sinned, we have all come short, and the wages of sin is death, but we can get cleaned of all that by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. No matter how bad it was, he can clean it away. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, now that's confessing them to God. That doesn't mean you got to go to a little booth somewhere and talk through a screen to somebody sitting on the other side. Nothing about that in the scriptures. We need to confess to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. Not just some of it. All of it. And when he does that, it's gone. Not to be brought back up against you by him at all ever again. Does that mean it will never be brought back up against you? No, it doesn't mean that, because the devil will use it against you. Things you've done in your past will come back to haunt you the rest of your life. But just lift it up and give it to the Lord. Don't let it beat you down or keep you from serving the Lord. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, my little children. Here again, another title, children, as I spoke of earlier. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not. We have the guidelines within the scriptures so that we can stay on the straight and narrow. We have the guidance of the Holy Ghost that indwells us when we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, when we confess to him, when we acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, receive him into us. He guides us. He lets us know. And when we mess up, we have an advocate, as it says here. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we have the guidelines so we won't sin. We have the influence of the Holy Ghost on us so we won't sin. But if we lose that tug of war that Paul writes about, and we do mess up, we do stumble, we do something wrong, do something that hurts ourselves, do something that hurts others, do something that hurts our relationship with God, we can come and ask for forgiveness for that. Because it says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sin. He has paid the price for all of it. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. All the whole world. He paid for all the sins, all past, present, and future of all people. Not just the ones that have trusted in him, but all of it. Even the filthy sinners that wind up in the lake of fire for eternity, he paid the price for all those. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The two great commandments mostly, and that is putting God number one. love him with all your existence, and love your neighbor as yourself. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. So becoming a Christian, you trust in Jesus Christ. You ask for forgiveness. He washes you clean. Then you walk as he walked. Study the Word of God. You'll find out the pathway you need to be on. Listen to the Holy Ghost. He'll guide every step you take if you yield to him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. That's even as Jesus Christ walked. All right, now if you will turn over to Acts chapter 11. In here we see the first mention of the use of the word Christians. And as we have spoke of before, the word Christians originally was used as a slant, as a derogatory word or name or description of someone, but it primarily means a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. It's also been said it means Christ-like, but the truer definition is a disciple or follower or student of Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you become Christian. When you trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a follower and you become a Christian. And let's look at the setting here of how this name first was tagged on to the people. It was during the beginning of the new church, the New Testament church, and we see here in the beginning of Acts, there was a lot of persecution going on by this time. And let's see, let's pick it up in verse 19 to get the proper context. That's Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution, and that's what I was speaking of, the heavy persecution that was coming in, that arose about Stephen. Now this was the stoning of Stephen. If you remember the account, they gathered together and stoned Stephen to death, and he looking up into heaven, he could see Jesus Christ standing to the right hand of the Father. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose after, about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now this great number that believed and turned to the Lord were the Grecians that he's speaking of here. So they were primarily still going out and preaching the gospel to the Jews. But the Lord told them in the Great Commission to go preach the gospel to all mankind. He told Peter to do that, and he gave Paul the specific task of reaching the Gentiles. But at this time here, they started to reach out to the Gentiles, the Grecians. As it continues in verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's the first mention of the use of the term Christian or Christians, describing the group of believers in Jesus Christ and followers. And it's been used ever since. Started out as a derogatory comment or name that was used by people, those Christians, to actually cut them down, to discriminate against them, but yet it became a glorious thing to be called a Christian. But we see in this world today, it's going back to you're actually being insulted, looked down upon for being Christian. So it's amazing how things have gone back and forth and so forth. But it's a precious thing if you can truly be a Christian. All right, earlier we mentioned some of the sufferings that a Christian will go through, and that's our next category here under the word Christian. If you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's pick it up in verse 12. It reads, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." The Lord told them this would happen. Very early in the preaching, when he spoke to them, in the Beatitudes or the Blessednesses, early in his ministry, as I said, Matthew chapter 5, look at verses 10 through 12 here. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So as it says back there, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." The persecutions that we're going to suffer in this world for being Christian, it's nothing strange about it. It's nothing unusual. It isn't just they're just attacking you because you're individually different. No, it's been that way. He told us it would be that way right from the beginning, to expect that. But note what the qualifier is there. It isn't that you're persecuted because you've done something evil. If you've done something evil and get persecuted for it, then justifiably so. But if you get persecuted for doing something godly, that's something you need to rejoice about. "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Not for evil's sake, but for righteousness' sake. "And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." That's why they come after you. They're actually going after Jesus Christ. If you're presenting yourself as Jesus Christ well enough and clear enough, you are going to be persecuted for that very thing. So don't think it's strange. But praise the Lord when it happens, because the glory that you're going to receive as a result of that far outweighs the harm that is going to come to you for your persecution, even if it's persecution all the way to your death. In our tasks, our duties, our jobs as a Christian, but in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, it speaks of what we have to look forward to during the millennial period and for eternity, where it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." course, those are the Christians. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And what we as Christians and only Christians have to look forward to over in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 through 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That last one there brings in that being joint heir with Jesus Christ and being the children of God. So when you are a Christian, you are a joint heir, and you will, as it says, inherit all things. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Sons and daughters, children of God, inheriting all things. And what are the things? All the glorious things that he will speak into existence, brand new heaven and brand new earth, that beautiful, big, huge 1,500-mile square city, New Jerusalem. It would be like a huge temple where we'd be able to go in and out those 12 gates and be able to worship the Lord, be able to walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ. So much beyond our wildest imagination could ever come up with in glory and in pleasure and in amazement. It's just beyond what we can comprehend. So just imagine the very utmost best that you could possibly ever imagine, and then it's 1,000 times better than that, or 10, or more than you could even count, better than that, beyond what we could ever imagine. And over in Colossians chapter 3, Christian behavior. Since we are Christian, how do we need to behave? We study the Word of God, listen to it, listen to the Holy Ghost, do things to bring honor and glory to Him, put God number one in your life, love your neighbor as yourself, and follow chapter 3 of Colossians here. If ye then be risen with Christ, that is those that are born again, that is those that are Christian, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're separated from the flesh. As it says, to mortify. We are spiritually alive. We're just talking about being dead here, being separated. Separated from those sinful behaviors. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's a lot to look forward to. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. We need to be transformed, changed. But now ye also put off all these. anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are to be like Jesus Christ. That's our goal as a Christian. Christ-like Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, a student of Jesus Christ, a disciple. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So much to look forward to as Christians. Walk as He walked. Take that name and bear it and carry it in pride of the Lord, proud of Jesus Christ, proud of what He has done for us. But don't puff yourself up with pride, thinking that you are something special. You are to humble yourself and come to Him with thanks and be willing to do exactly what He wants you to do to bring honor and glory to Him every step that you take, so that you can carry that name and bring honor to Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It is so powerful. Help us to always realize to apply it to our lives fully and completely, and to draw closer to You, and to also share that with others. Help us as we continue our walk that we can display You in our lives, so that when they see us, they see a Christian, a follower of Yours. So when they see us, they actually see You. Thank You so much for that opportunity to be a part of Your work. Lead, guide, and direct every step that we take. Thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.